and knock on our door.
Come knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too. Come and dance on our floor.
Thank you for knocking on our door and welcome to the Regal Beagle Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the much-loved television sitcom Three's Company. Here we review and discuss each and every Three's Company episode, covering all 8 seasons in chronological order. My name is Danko Jones, and joining me today is my cousin Cameron. Cameron, you're far away.
Yeah, I am far, or rather, you're far.
Yes, I am out in on an island outside of Vancouver, working on our new record, and we are very excited about it, and so far everything's good.
Yeah, so, you know, first time we haven't been able to look each other in the eye.
Right.
Well, I sort of stomached through these episodes, so should be interesting.
So this time you'll be able to speak freely and eye roll continuously.
Yeah, exactly. Without fear of offending you.
Right. Okay, so here, let's just dive into it. Season 4, Episode 13, A Black Letter Day. It aired December 11th, 1979, directed by Dave Powers, written by Michael S. Baser, Mark Chambers, and Kim Weisskopf. The girls think the other is having an affair with Jack. Cameron, what did you think of A Black Letter Day?
Oh, man. I mean, after the episodes that I had seen to sort of start off this season, I was really, you know, sort of on board with where the show was going, and I was super pumped about sort of the direction it was taking. And it's, I don't know, it felt kind of stale compared to the episodes I had seen at the beginning of the season, to be quite honest. And most notably because there was a very distinct absence. I mean, I didn't see Don Knotts' character once in the entire episode. And I think that really sort of colored my experience of like, I was hoping to jump into sort of some crazy caper with Don involved, but he was nowhere to be seen.
Interesting. You are a Furley fan.
I am. I will say, you know, when he was introduced, a sort of, as I said before, I mean, he really did breathe new life into the show, and I was kind of like, you know what, I'm not dreading watching the episodes as much.
Right, right.
And then I'm waiting for, you know, Furley to show up, because surely he's got some, surely Furley can weigh in on this, right? This is, you know, classic Three's Company sort of mix up with the Dear Abby article, and it's like, okay, what? And he's going to get involved in some way, and then he never even showed face.
It's a really keen observation that it's because of Furley's absence that you didn't like the episode. It's aptly titled Black Letter Day for reasons that are behind the scenes. And I guess I'm going to have to tell you right now, the episode Black Letter Day is truly a tragic day in the series because, brace yourself, okay?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, yeah. This is the last episode of with Lana.
What?
Yeah, she appeared only 9 times in the series. And so she dumps the drink on Jack's head and leaves the Regal Beagle, but also leaves the show right there.
What?
Yeah, we never see her again. And, you know, this is like 79, so there's no social media. No one's going to...
Why?
Well, behind the scenes, there was some tension between John Ritter, the actor who played Jack Tripper, and the writers of Three's Company. Because John Ritter, the actor, felt that, you know, if Jack Tripper is such a sex-crazed maniac, he would never... He would never turn down Lana's advances. Like, it's just not believable, considering the setup of Jack Tripper, the character, being like this guy who's always on the make, always trying to score with women. And suddenly here's a woman who's very attractive, throwing herself at him, and he's just not taking to it. To John Ritter, the actor, it seemed very unbelievable. Plus, Lana was starting to get more screen time, and Anne Wedgeworth, the actress who played Lana Shields, alluded to this, that some of the cast, she didn't really say any names, but some of the cast didn't like that she was getting a more prominently written into the series. And the writers argued back with John Ritter, saying that Jack Tripper, the character, would be turned off by an older woman's advances, which is kind of ageist. But this
is, I mean, maybe, but it was established from the get-go when she was introduced, because I watched that episode where she was introduced as a character.
Yeah.
That Jack was never really interested because of the age difference.
Yeah, yeah.
So it didn't feel weird to me.
I know. And so she wasn't fired. Anne Wedgeworth was asked, she asked to be released from the show because of, I guess, because of the tension throughout the show.
So do you think it was the tension with her and other actors, or was it John Ritter's kind of pushing for her to have a smaller, if not, no role?
Well, they've said it's because of the tension between John Ritter and the writers of the show.
But not, I mean, yeah. Call me crazy, but like, was John Ritter, like, this is a show that up until this point, I mean, I feel like, relied on a lot of like pie gags and I mean, it was like there's a lot of cheap laughs. Like, was he really that invested in the character arc of Jack Tripper? I mean, that seems a bit ridiculous. Maybe now, maybe at the time, but it's just like, this is a, laugh at all costs. Like, we're going to do whatever it takes to get people to laugh. Why was he so, like, hardline about Jack's, supposed, sexual prowess? I don't know. It just seems kind of weird.
Yeah, it's just, that's just how it was. Like, John Ritter, the actor, was convinced that Jack Tripper, the character, would eventually go for whatever Lana was offering.
So Ritter was all in on Jack, right? So give me some context. Like, at this point, season four, like, it's really, like, the show's rolling now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so he's taking it very seriously.
Oh, yeah, he's a star. He is a star at this point. Like, he is the show, and it's already four seasons in. And you got to remember, at the time, this was the Friends, this was the Big Bang Theory, this was the Breaking Bad of its generation. Three's Company was the cool show. So,
oh, man. I liked Lana Shields.
Yeah, so did I. And it shows, because her nine appearances throughout eight seasons, really, everybody remembers Lana, but nobody really stops to think that it was only nine episodes that created this huge impression for all of us. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's tough.
Does she stay in the rest of the season four open?
No, they only put her in the credits when she's there, or until she left, which is, like, I guess, almost at the midway point of season four.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, sucks, eh?
So this is last time we see Lana Shields. I mean, Furley's not in the episode.
She's credited in 13 episodes, in the opening credits, but she only appeared nine times.
Oh, my God. And I mean, what did you think? I mean, I thought it was a pretty sort of vanilla episode. It reminded me of the early days of the show, where we were either in their apartment or at the Regal Beagle, which I felt claustrophobic again all of a sudden.
Yeah, I didn't like it either. I thought it was really cheap that the girls wouldn't just like go, hey, wait a minute, you're my friend, I know you. You would never like keep a secret from me, and then that would be the end of the episode.
Yeah, same. And I think they really relied on Chrissy. I mean, since I started watching the show, her character has just gotten more, like, just more, it just really like fit into that dumb blonde stereotype more and more, to a point now where it's just easy laughs, but like, I guess that's why we'd think that this was believable, but you're right. Like, they've been living together for how many years, and they're not just gonna, surely this situation hasn't crossed their minds in 4 seasons. I don't know. It just was like, sure.
Yeah. No, it was a cheap premise, a cheap setup, and a cheap way to exit Lana. And I didn't like the episode either. However, I did like the constant gag of where each character reads the Dear Abby letter, I am a Siamese twin. That was pretty funny. Like, they kept reading that same letter.
I will say that was the only time that I did crack a smile during that episode, because that was good. That was a good thread. And I did like the bit with Chrissy and the turkey baster.
Yes, that was another one. Yeah.
That was good. I didn't know where that was going, and I think, you know, I thought that was kind of thrown, because I wasn't sure how that was going to relate, and it didn't, but it was a nice, you know, sort of reprieve from this bland storyline.
And also, it shows how innocent the times were, because the turkey baster looks very phallic, and yet Larry jokes about it being a giant eyedropper instead of what maybe us in 2018 would think is like a dildo joke or something.
Right.
An opportunity for a dildo joke.
It was ripe for dildo jokes. You're right. But I think it was funny, because the last thing I would have associated it with was an eyedropper. Yeah. So when Larry said that, I was like, okay, that's kind of random, but sure.
Yeah, it's 1979.
I would say, without Larry and Lana in that episode, man, I was falling asleep. Like, I was, as I tend to do, I watch these episodes, I wait until the very last minute so that, you know, it's A, fresh in my memory, and B, I'm, you know, don't put myself through that much suffering. And I watched the episode, you know, pretty late, and it was hard to stay awake, and I did it, but it was just, oh my God, like.
Oh, yeah.
Something grabbed my attention here. And I mean, I think Larry, I'm starting to see why you like Larry. I'll just say that.
Yeah. And it's just a shitty episode all around. Lana leaves, no Furley, cheap premise.
Yeah.
Everything. No,
So, I mean, it's kind of, so the way that you see this episode is overall how I've seen every episode of this show.
Oh, come on. There's been some golden episodes you've watched.
Yeah, true. And but it's moments like these that like sort of cloud the memory of that. Do you know what I mean? There's like, I haven't had a consistent run of episodes where it's like, you know, one after another of just like, give me more. It's just like, there's like these little ebbs and flows, but most of them are, you know, highs and lows, but most of them are lows, and the highs are, you know, quick, and then they're gone, and I don't even see Furley. I don't know what's going on here. I saw the Ropers in every episode. I don't want to see them. I want to see Furley. What's going on? I don't know.
Right. No, I hear you. Well, listen, this is a chance for me to say, come back next week, and let's hope, you know, the series can pick up and gain your trust again.
Wow. I mean, now that Lana's gone, I've severe doubts that could happen.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
I've been proven wrong before. I guess I'll keep going. We'll be right back.